You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Okay, couples, today I am excited to explore the idea of attachment types and how that impacts your marriage. Now, this original theory was brought about by John Bowlby many, many years ago, and he was doing research watching how little kiddos would respond when they were put in a classroom environment, new toys or things were invited in, and how they would be more willing to explore if they had a caregiver in the room that brought them safety or if they felt scared, and then how that impacted the way they interacted in the environment. And then it was further developed by Mary Ainsworth, and she really kind of gave the names to the different attachment types. Now, why I think this might be interesting for us is just because it's a further insight into how different you might be from your spouse and how maybe you've seen a little bit of a mystery of how your spouse might respond to you in different ways. Like maybe if you come to him with a need or her with a need, or you come to your spouse in a time of conflict and they always have the same response that you're like, I don't understand why you do what you do. So maybe understanding attachment types will give you some further insight into not only the differences that you guys might have, but further understanding for your spouse. Because again, at the end of the day, you guys in marriage, we become one with our spouse. So we're different people, but we're coming together as one. And the more understanding we have of each other, the more gracious we can be in the areas that maybe we're different, the more we can learn and understand where the other person's coming from. It just helps us to navigate life, conflict. Everything's just a little bit easier. Now, there's a great book that I used in developing this. It's called Attached. It's a great read by Levine and Heller. So if you want to read the book, it's a great book, but just kind of goes more in depth. But here's the deal. Attachment is about our ability to feel safe in relationships. And what the research had showed is that it really starts when you're the little kid, right? How Bowlby started with toddlers exploring in a room, and how your attachment ability that your parents or your caregiver, whoever your primary caregivers were, if they were responsive to you, you would form more of a secure attachment, which would then make you braver to explore and to go out on your own and to be independent. Whereas other people who had caregivers or parents that maybe were not available or were more aloof, you start to have a more insecure attachment because you're not sure from time to time or space to space if somebody's going to be there for you. So you can see that in the home that you grew up in, if you felt like your parents or the people that are supposed to love and protect you were responsive, cared about you when you were sad, they were there for you, that you would build more self-confidence. There would be a different level of security then as you move on in relationships as an adult. Whereas if you had parents that were not there for you or were inconsistent in their ability to be there for you, or they had their own issues going on, they didn't have the bandwidth to give to you, you could develop more of either a insecurity that maybe it does, would anyone love me once you become an adult, or you become more avoidant where you're like, I'm just going to be independent and not depend on anyone because I had to learn that from a young age. Okay, so that's kind of the backdrop of it. So then what we want to explore today is that in your marriage, how do you see attachment types impacting your relationship with your spouse? So if you came from a home where your parents were responsive to you and you have a more secure attachment, then you're going to be more secure in the marriage. You're not going to have insecurities the same way as someone that maybe didn't have that. You're going to be more balanced maybe in your approach. When there's conflict, you're not going to freak out and wonder, does my spouse love me? Because I can tell they're disappointed in me. You're going to be more free in your ability to communicate because you've learned, like, you grew up in an environment that you felt like, I have a voice, people listen to it, and people respond when I'm sad or upset. So for those secure attachments out there, you probably know who you are. Your adult relationships and your marriage, you're pretty steady Eddie. You can build healthy relationships. You have independence. When you're upset or disappointed, you don't have any problem expressing yourself. Okay, now, that's great. We all want to have more secure attachments, but some of us were more blessed than others to come from a home where we were able to develop that from a young age. Now, For people that grew up in a home where you did not have security, where you did not have people that were there for you when you needed them, or maybe you even had to be more of the parent to even your parents, you might have more of an anxious attachment. And that happens when you feel uncertain. You feel uncertain about someone's ability to care or love for you. Are they going to be there for you no matter what? So that starts as a kid that maybe you learned early on that you'd come home from school and you had a bad day and your parents are like, I got my own problems. I can't help you. So you just kind of learn to feel insecure in trusting that people were going to be there for you. So now when you bring that into adulthood and then into your marriage, you might be the person that's just anxious a lot. And as soon as you get a sense that someone's upset with you or your spouse is disappointed in you, that your anxiety comes to the surface of what do I need to do to show you that I could be better, right? Like I'm insecure in your love and care for me. So I'm anxious and I'm going to do a million things to try to get your attention. You know, maybe more in your dating years, this maybe came more to light that maybe you are clingy or you would overanalyze every statement. Or if they didn't call back right away, you'd start to build some narrative in your mind or like, well, are they not interested anymore? And then maybe in your marriage, you just notice like in times of conflict or maybe a missed expectation, the anxious attached spouse might just become like an overwhelming sense of now we're not even arguing about this particular area. It's just like one, like you just didn't bring the garbage can in, but the anxious attachment person is going to feel like it goes deeper than that. And do you really love me? And are you going to want to divorce me? Right. That's more of the anxious attachment. And then the other kind of attachment that comes from more of the inconsistent bonding maybe you had as a child is the avoidant. And beyond anxious, you just then just decide, I'm just going to be independent. My caregivers, my parents weren't really there for me. I had to figure it out from a young age. And so now in adulthood, that's kind of been your mentality. Maybe it was even hard for you to get married, or in times of conflict, the avoidant person is just going to shut down and just create space because they're going to be like, you figure out what's going on with you. I don't know what those emotions are. I don't know why you're upset, but that's on you. I'm going to just come over here and do things on my own. You can be a little bit dismissive and you can just be a little bit like, I don't depend on you. You don't depend on me. Somehow we can make it work. Now, as you're listening to this description for each of these attachments, hopefully you're starting to think about what's your own. You know, how would you describe your attachment style? Are you secure? Are you more anxious and insecure? Or are you just kind of shut down and not really sharing your heart fully with your spouse because you're an avoidant? And then I think it's obviously going to be helpful to think about where do you think your spouse is in that? And then start to think about in times, especially of conflict, how is your spouse responding in that moment? See, this is where the attachment can be a helpful insight that a secure attachment is going to be like, let's talk about it. You're upset with me. You're disappointed. Like, let's talk about it. Or I'm upset with you. I need to share my thoughts with you, because they're coming to it saying, I can share this with you because I trust that you're going to love me and we're going to work it out. If you have a spouse that has the anxious attachment, they might have more insecurities, or it might become more of an emotional thing because it's not just this situation. They blow it up into every situation and really more of like a life or death kind of a, you know, are you going to leave me? Are we going to be okay in our marriage? And so that's more of the anxious. And then the avoidant is maybe your spouse is just like checked out a lot. Well, that might be because that's how it worked in their family growing up. They just learned to do things on their own. So what do you do with that information? Well, hopefully you guys can talk about that and use the questions that we provide in the topic to talk about this and to kind of look at where do we tend to get off track as a couple? When we're in conflict, what are we both doing or not doing that creates additional angst in one of us, or that we're just never really getting to, how do we need to talk about this? Because the avoidant, even though you might think walking away or just disengaging is helpful in conflict, that's actually communicating, especially if you're married to someone with an anxious attachment, like, I don't love you and I don't care. That's like the worst thing for them. If you're an avoidant married to a secure, they're just not going to let it go. So you'd be better to recognize, like, even though your attachment style would say, I'm just going to disengage. Well, you're married to somebody that wants to be engaged and wants to talk about it. So again, it's just another example of how marriage is just such an opportunity to show that selfless, sacrificial love that Jesus calls us to and how he's loved us. Because, you know, we've talked about it in terms of personality. You know, we all have the ability to know what we want when we need it, but it's a lot harder to meet the needs of somebody else. And that's what we're called to in marriage. So even with the attachment styles, understanding that part of your spouse and why they're responding the way we're responding, that you would choose to say, okay, I know you have more of an anxious attachment, and that in your history and what, you know, past relationships taught you is that I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be consistent. I'm not going to care. I'm not going to love you through it. That's not true. I'm going to do that for you. So here's the thing that happens though, oftentimes, and maybe this is something you guys have experienced. When your partner, when your spouse feels distant or the relationship feels inconsistent, that attachment system is going to go off like an alarm. And it's going to be like, am I feeling safe and secure? No, I'm not. What do I need to do? Anxious attachments are going to be particularly sensitive to this. And anxious attachments are typically going to maybe overreact or just do a bunch of things to try to create that connection. So once that attachment alarm kind of goes off, you're going to find ways to create connection. So again, think about this. If you're an avoidant attachment and your tendency is going to be when somebody's being emotional, you're just going to check out and your attitude's more like, you figure out you, how much more that alarm's going to go off if you're married to someone with an anxious or even a secure attachment that they need you to engage, or it's going to create more problems because especially the anxious attachment's going to start building a narrative potentially in their mind of why you're choosing to be disengaged. Like, you don't love me. Maybe there's somebody else. Maybe you're just totally unhappy, and it just creates a bigger mess than even where you started. So the idea is when that attachment alarm goes off and you notice that your spouse is kind of looking for connection, looking to find out, like, are we together? Are we in this? That's where we need to stop and be like, okay, what's going on? How do we need to talk? How do we need to stop the alarm from going off and connect? So again, that's going to be harder for an avoidant. That's going to be complicated for the anxious. The secure attachment people, you guys really hopefully, one of you in the marriage has a secure, the idea would be that you both have that, but that you would be able to say, okay, we got to talk. Let's like slow the train down and let's get on the same page. Now here's the good news. Attachment styles can change. And here's the other good news. At the end of the day, no matter what family we came from, no matter what history has taught us or past relationships, if you have put your faith in Jesus, you are a new creation. And in your marriage, anything can be rewritten. Any harm that's been done to you from the past can be fixed, can be rewritten by the Lord. Because at the end of the day, like I started the video, we are called to something bigger. Even though you might have an anxious attachment because you didn't have consistency in your life, doesn't mean that's who you need to be as a husband or a wife, or how you would be to your kids. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. This idea of that selfless sacrificial love, no matter what your spouse, their history, their insecurity, their self-doubt, the way you love can override that. Right? And that's what we're called to in serving and loving one another. If I know that my spouse struggles in times of conflict because their alarm goes off and they are afraid that you're going to leave, then you would want to meet your spouse there and say, I love you. Before we go any further in this conversation, I love you and I'm not going anywhere. Now let's talk about this particular issue. Selfless sacrificial love. Because what can happen in any relationship, no matter if we're talking about attachments or anything else, we can choose to activate our selfish side where we're like, I don't know what's going on with you. I'm not satisfied. You didn't meet my expectations. So that's a you problem and I'm not going to deal with it. More of an avoidant attachment approach. But in biblical love and what husbands and wives are called to biblically is that we put down our selfish ways and we choose to say, what do I need to do to love my spouse better? If they're anxious, if they feel insecure, how do I make them feel secure? That's the higher love we're called to. And to just help remind them, like, I'm not like mom or dad or how you were raised in a home with maybe a single parent or a parent with mental illness or something that just was not able to provide the security you needed as a kid. I will make you feel safe in our marriage. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5 says, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. Again, the quality of love, because again, you're two different people have come together and now you're one. And so it doesn't really matter if you think your spouse sometimes overreacts or is too insecure or too needy. The kind of love we're supposed to have is selfless, sacrificial love, that we're patient, that we're kind, that we're not just looking for ways to point out wrongs, and we're not just irritable. And in the context of this conversation, you can see how your attachment style, if it bumps up against a different attachment style, it would be easy for you just to be critical. It'd be easier for you to be like, I don't know what's going on with you, or just shut down. And what we need to do is like, okay, I understand that. I understand that when you feel disconnected or we're in an argument and there's some insecurity feelings there, I understand your attachment style. So I'm going to know how to speak to that. I'm going to know how to navigate that out of love and care and concern. I'm not going to add fuel to the fire and make you feel worse, or I'm not going to punish you for the way you were raised, so to speak. Because at the end of the day, like I said, no matter how our child rearing years were, no matter the home we grew up in, as adults, as husband and wives, as followers of Jesus, he rewrites all of that. So what may have been an insecurity or an avoidant can become more secure, where you're able to step into conflict in a healthy way, where you're able to hear from your spouse when you've missed the mark on something and be able to say, I want to be better in that. And you'll see, like, man, what a difference that makes in a marriage relationship, especially when it comes to things like conflict, to just have more understanding of each other. Like, I understand why you just reacted the way you reacted, because we've explored something like attachment styles. And it's all just about getting more insight into your spouse and to know how to kind of navigate through it and to set them up for success, not failure. I hope this was interesting to you. Have a conversation as a couple, explore it. And see how you can improve, even in just understanding attachment styles in your communication and just the quality of love that you have for one another.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.